There's a lot of material in that passage that Dave read from Philippians chapter 1, 1 to 11, and we could spend a lot of time just camping out in those 11 verses. But we're going to be moving along through this series, Finding Joy in the Journey, a series through Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I'm excited to begin 2018 talking about a subject like this, because I believe that we need to experience deeper joy. There's a lot of anxiety in our state. There's a lot of anxiety in our nation, in our world today. There's a lot of need to experience more of what the Lord has for us. And so we're going to be seeing in this letter to the Philippians that Paul is talking about authentic Christian faith in an unstable world. It was an unstable world when Paul wrote this letter. And this letter is often referred to as Paul's letter of joy. Who doesn't want to have an authentic faith? And who doesn't want to experience more joy from God in their life? Joy is a major theme in the letter, but what really grabs my attention is that it isn't a joy that's forged in ease and privilege and in abundance. It's not a joy of people who have no problems to face, but in fact, it is a joy that arises right in the midst of difficulty, right in the midst of hard circumstances. Paul uses himself as a living illustration, and he often does this. In the New Testament, he'll say, "Join in imitating me. Look at my example." And so he uses himself as a living illustration. He has problems. The Apostle Paul is writing from prison himself. He expects that he won't probably get out alive. He's facing his own imminent execution. And the church in Philippi has problems as well. There's some division within the church. And within the church, Paul is going to be addressing in this letter some of the false teaching that's been coming to the Philippian, these new believers in Philippi. People who are coming in and saying, yes, in addition to the grace of Jesus, you need to obey these laws of Judaism in order to be saved. And Paul is coming in to bring correction to this. On top of that, they're experiencing opposition from the outside. Because of their profession of faith in Jesus Christ, they experience persecution for their faith. They are a people at risk in an unstable world. So I want to ask a few questions as we start off this morning. Is it possible to be joyful in this kind of world? Is it possible for us to experience joy in the midst of hardship? Is it realistic for Paul to urge joy when the believers that he's addressing are being pressed both from the inside as well as from the outside? And can we know joy in our own lives even in the midst of really difficult situations? And I believe the answer is yes. And the answer is yes, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the power of the gospel to bring hope and joy is remarkable. We see it all through the New Testament. To most people, joy is what comes with what? What brings joy? What do we think of when we think of, you know, what are the things that bring joy to our lives? Mostly, what we think about are prosperity and success. These are the things that bring joy. Joy is what happens when you get a promotion. Joy is what happens when all your children are going the direction that you raised them to go. They're walking in that way. Joy is found in the absence of pressure, the absence of fear, the absence of hardship. It is a circumstantially based thing. And what we'll see in this letter is that deep biblical joy is not that. That deep biblical joy arises out of having Christ in us. That it is based upon a deep, authentic faith in Jesus. And so Paul begins this letter like this: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, Paul wants you to know that you're a saint. You say, well, I don't feel like a saint. He says, you're a saint in view of what Christ has done for you. That in Christ, you are a new creation. You are a saint. And Paul uses this phrase, in Christ Jesus, all throughout his letters. He talks about how when we come to faith in Christ, Christ comes into us. And we come into Christ. That he makes his dwelling in us. And so Christ, in a very real way, is right here in us by his Holy Spirit. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul takes a greeting that is a common Greco-Roman greeting, and he puts a Christian spin upon it. And he liked to do this with a lot of different things. And so he takes the Greco-Roman salutation, the Greco-Roman greeting, which is kyrene, or greetings to you. And he says, well, I'm going to take the word charis. Charis, which means grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's undeserved gift to us. Charis, or the word in Greek, kara, which means joy. Or the word charisma are all conjured up by this word charis. Charisma is God's grace gifts poured out upon us. Charis, kai eirene. He takes the word, the common greeting in a Hebrew culture of shalom. And shalom in the Greek translation is eirene. And when one said shalom, a person was saying, may God's peace be upon you. May you know the wholeness and the tranquility and the harmony and the well-being of reconciliation with God. It is a peace on the deepest level. And so Paul begins the letter with this word of the gospel. Hear the word of the gospel and receive it deep into your beings. Grace to you. God's riches to you. God's undeserved gift to you at Christ's expense. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Laughter is often a characteristic of a person whose life is marked by joy. And, you know, as I was thinking about this whole concept of joy, it's been a fact in my own life growing up that my parents have embodied joy a lot in my growing up. And my dad in particular. My dad has taught me a lot about finding joy even in the midst of life's struggles. Someone once said, to rejoice is to return to the source of joy, to rejoy again, to return again to joy. Rejoice, Paul will say in this letter. He'll say, rejoice in the Lord, and again I will say, rejoice. And my father is a man who returns to joy again and again in his life, and that has enabled him to have an abundance of joy and laughter in his life. In fact, Mary and I were talking about how funny it is that we call my mom and dad, and they just laugh so much on the phone. I mean, it seems like it doesn't really matter what they're talking about. They're just like bubbling over with joy. And I really believe that the foundation of that is their relationship with Jesus Christ. It causes joy to bubble up within them. My dad is so positive that his associates used to say, they said to me, Andy, when your dad passes away, we're going to put on his tombstone the eternal optimist. Because he is a very optimistic person. But more deeply than just being optimistic is this joy that flows out of his relationship with God. 26 years ago, my mom and dad were really going through a hard time. They were hit hard by a number of very painful circumstances involving their family and their finances. The first thing that really came along was the birth of our daughter, Sarah, who went without oxygen at birth. She suffered profound and global brain damage over every aspect of her brain. Many of you knew Sarah before she passed away in 2013. And, you know, she never could speak. If you laid her on the ground and walked away and came back a week later, she'd still be laying right there. She was unable to use her arms and legs in any functional way. It was a very tragic thing when she was born with these problems. And it was a grief to my mom and dad. But right in the middle of that whole experience of Sarah's birth, my brother Peter came out with the fact that he was addicted to cocaine. And then my sister Julie was addicted to crystal meth. And she had a boyfriend down in Southern California that she had met who was also a crystal meth addict. And they got engaged. It's like, oh, well, joy, joy, joy. You know, I mean, two crystal meth addicts coming together. And so this was all happening in my family. And simultaneous to that, my mom and dad were experiencing a lot of financial hardship. So it was Good Friday 26 years ago that my dad got word from the bank that the bank was going to foreclose on their home on Mercer Island, just outside of Seattle. Their home where we had all been raised, their home of 24 years. It's kind of like your nest egg, your home. And he had refinanced it to get a loan and couldn't make the payments on the loan, and the bank was calling to say, we're taking the home. So that would be hard on anybody. But when you're 64 years old, like my dad was at the time, it was like, wait a second, you know, we're right at that point in life where we'd kind of like to back off from work and enter into a time of retirement. But that wasn't going to happen. And so my dad still managed, in the midst of all that, I found to express this deep sense of joy. He would say to me growing up all the time, Andy, rejoice in the Lord. I'd say, Dad, yeah. He'd say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I'd say, Dad, stop it. He'd say, Andy, in all things, God works together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And it just sounded like, come on, Dad, cut it out. That's not helpful. But in fact, he embraced those truths of the scriptures, and it brought him joy. He learned to walk in joy in the midst of hardship. Well, to add injury to insult, during this time in their life where they had just been told two days, so it was Easter Sunday, right after this announcement on Good Friday that they were going to lose their home, it's Easter Sunday. And my dad calls, and he says, Andy, I've got a funny story to tell you. I'm like, okay. He says, this morning, your mom and I, we went to church, and we just had a really wonderful Easter service. It was so beautiful. But I came home from church, and when we got home, he loved to hose off the porch, and he was hosing off the porch. And he said, I threw the hose into the flower bed, and the nozzle stuck on a branch and started just spraying me. And I was running to get out of the way, and I slipped on a brick and fell, and boom, right on the edge of a step, and I broke my leg, and I cracked my ankle. Isn't that funny, Andy? <You know? laughs> So he says, so I'm scheduled to go in and have my ankle screwed back together, and I've got this broken leg. Well, I could hardly believe it. You know, I mean, can more calamitous things come upon a person in the course of a year to a few months than that? His grandchild suffering terrible disabilities, two children struggling with drug addiction, their home of 24 years in foreclosure in 2 days. He's now has a broken leg and a cracked ankle and an appointment to go in for surgery to put a screw in to hold the bone back together. But in spite of all this pressure and in spite of all this hardship, my dad was able to rejoice. And my mom and dad actually both, and their rejoicing was clearly not in circumstances, but it was in the promise of God. It was in the fact that Christ was in them. And so they were able to find joy in the Lord in spite of the circumstances. How, one could ask, can one find joy in spite of such difficult circumstances? And the answer is by drawing from Jesus Christ, the source of true joy, of deep joy, in spite of what's going on, by basing their hope finally on the promise of God. That is how they were able to find joy. And that's instructive for us. Joy isn't what happens to you. Joy is not a circumstantially based thing, as it is spoken of in the scriptures. Joy is what happens in you as a result of Christ being in you, of the hope of the gospel being embraced by you. What a powerful source of hope and joy Jesus is for us today as we live out our faith in Christ in this anxious and troubled world. But there are obstacles, aren't there? There are obstacles to our joy. Every day we're surrounded by a media that insists upon elevating the negative. And we see it all the time. But as if that isn't enough, we're always surrounded by pain. We're surrounded by depressing circumstances. There's death and sickness and depression and violence and economic pressure and poverty, our own failures can all rob us of joy. Broken families, people alienated from loved ones, people alienated from God, pressures of life, these things can rob us of joy. We experience fear and loneliness and frustration and uncertainty of the future, and all of these things can rob us of the joy that God wants us to know every day in our lives. These realities and more sometimes cause us to walk around with long faces and heavy hearts. They battle against our faith and our experience of joy. We feel the need to experience a deep infusion of God's life into our lives, and that's exactly what we need. We need the touch of God upon our lives, and we need it every single day. Do you want to be a person who experiences deep joy, who demonstrates joy even in the midst of life's hard places? I do. I want to be a person who, in spite of when things aren't going great, I can say, but God is greater. And know that that is true, and that's not just Pollyanna thinking. I want to be a person who is full of joy because I know the source of hope, and I know the source of joy. I know joy because I know the risen Lord. I know that God loves me, that He forgives me, that He has called me to be His own, that He has given me a mission in this world that is significant and deep, that He is concerned with my attitude and He wants to fill me with His peace, joy rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. And so all of this brings us to this little letter called the Letter to the Philippians. It's 104 verses long. It was written around AD 62, so about 30 years after Jesus' crucifixion and His resurrection. It can be read in less than 15 minutes. And part of your assignment this week is to read through Paul's letter to the Philippians. Read it through twice. Just 15 minutes of reading. You could take longer and contemplate it a little bit more, and that'd be a good thing to do. All four chapters in this little letter contain the word joy. Joy appears 16 times in the letter. This is Paul's letter of joy. But perhaps more significant than the 16 appearances of the word joy is the 40 times that the name Jesus Christ appears in the letter. Because Jesus is the source of deep biblical joy. The tone of the letter is affirming, it's encouraging and joyful. And even though Paul writes it from a prison cell with one end of a chain on his ankle and the other to a prison guard or to a post in the jail, he's sitting there in a Roman prison cell waiting to be executed, all because he confesses faith in Jesus. And then he can write about joy. Doesn't that floor you? That Paul, who had been so many times beaten, left, drug outside of a city gate and left for dead because of his proclamation of the gospel, could get up and go back into a city and proclaim the gospel again and get thrown in prison and still write about joy. Say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice. Listen again to the opening of this letter. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Paul is going to show us in this letter what he showed the Philippians, that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives as Savior and Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, and the Spirit of God begins to form fruits in our lives, develop these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But Paul is saying here that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It grows out of a life that is marinated in the gospel. It is marinated in the good news, a life that is deeply grounded in Jesus Christ and His love that binds us together in unity and binds us together in a common mission. Joy. Joy. And when our lives are built on Jesus Christ, we can face all things with hope and even, dare I say, joy, because Jesus is a redeemer and He is a deliverer, and that is a cause for joy. Yesterday, I've been texting Andrew Glasgow. Many of you know Andrew Glasgow, but Andrew moved, he's been away from the church for the last year or so, having a lot of illness. He's been at home. His organs are kind of hardening on the outside of his organs, and he's had a lot of pain. And so he's been at home, but he decided to move back to Maine to be close to his family. And he and Ginger had been divorced for some time, but had been together, and then together raising three kids. They weren't living together. But Ginger took the kids, and she was going to move to Oregon, and Andrew was going to move to Maine. And that was a grief for him. But he knew that he was dying of this hardening of his organs. Well, he got to Maine and discovered that that he's suffering neurological failure. And they think it could be Parkinson's, and that would be a best-case scenario. But last night he told me, Andy, they're saying now that it could be ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which is a very terrible way to die. But he said, you know, Andy, I know Jesus. I know where I'm going. I have a deep hope in me. And I'm so thankful today because Ginger and the kids aren't in Oregon, but they're right here in Maine with me, and they're going to be with me until I die. In fact, he said last night in a text, he says, Ginger and I were going to get remarried this next summer, but we've decided we're going to do it right away because of my circumstances. There are things that happen in our lives that threaten to destroy any scrap of joy that we might know. But when we are a child of God, we're not at the mercy of life's circumstances. Hard things come. Hard things that we can't polish. We just have to say, that's just dang hard. We're going to walk through it together. Such as the Klan family and Kevin losing his wife last week. We're so sorry for that loss. We're sorry, Ashton. Sorry to the whole family. We grieve with you. We don't live at the whim of the environment, however. I mean, as believers. We don't live at the mercy of circumstances. Earth is not our destiny. Heaven is our home, Paul will tell us in chapter 3 of Philippians. And to the extent that we are surrendered and submitted to the Spirit of God, we will be formed by God in the midst of life's circumstances. And so when the hard things of life come around into our lives, they're just hard. And we must grieve, we must name the grief and the sorrow. But at the same time, when Christ is in us, we can say, God, would you take this pain and would you use it to shape me? Would you redeem this in some way? Make something beautiful out of this tragedy. Our feelings go up and down. Our circumstances may change, but God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read in Acts 16 about Paul and Silas when they first arrived in Philippi. Lots of great things were happening. They went down to the river to this prayer and found some people praying. And Lydia gives her life to Christ. And many others were giving their lives to Christ, and they were seeing all this great stuff. But then they get accused. They get arrested. They get beaten with rods. They get thrown in prison into the deepest, dankest, darkest place of the prison with their ankles chained to the wall. Things aren't looking good. It's a bummer. But they had a major choice in that moment. They could get down and they could get depressed after all the things that were happening. It didn't look good. Or they could live out of the center of their faith. They could live out of the center and the substance of the one who dwelled inside of them, Christ. And that's what they decided to do. And so we read this remarkable verse that says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. About midnight, chained with their ankles to the prison wall, facing execution probably, they're praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And you know what happened. The earthquake came, their chains are loosed, the prison guard's about ready to kill himself, but instead, Paul says, don't do that, we're all here. And then he breaks him out of the jail himself, and he gives his life to Christ, and his whole family gets baptized. God intervened in a way that only God could intervene. You know the story. Paul and Silas chose to put their focus upon the one who held their life, who said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. You know, the same God who intervened in Paul and Silas' lives can intervene in your life and my life. Turn to him. Turn to Jesus in prayer. Trust in him and rejoice in him. Receive him and let his joy well up even in the midst of hard circumstances. We all have a choice when we're faced with life's joy robbers. We can focus on our circumstances or focus on Jesus and the hope of the good news of the gospel. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be invited to experience more of the gospel in our daily life circumstances. Paul is going to say, if you want to go deeper in joy, if you want to experience this joy that I'm talking about, go deeper into Jesus. Get to know Jesus deeply. Follow his ways. Love with his power. Trust in him. Walk with him. Biblical joy isn't rooted in great hunting and fishing trips. Happiness can sometimes be rooted in those types of things. But deep joy, happiness is a circumstantial thing. I'm happy when I'm successful. But joy can be with me even when I'm not successful, right? It's that deep sense of it is well with my soul in spite of the circumstances around me. Happiness can be rooted in a great marriage or a happy family. Biblical joy isn't found in a summer cottage. It isn't found in financial abundance and the stock market going through the roof, right? Biblical joy is found in a person. His name is Jesus. To those who are in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.